Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
In this service, we're discussing vision. Genesis 37, verses 5 to 9. Are you there? Genesis 37, verses 5 to 9. Let's go. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have a dream. I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me." Amen. So I call or title this vision. A vision is a mental picture of a preferable future. A mental picture of a preferable future. Or another word that we can use is the word dream. If you will succeed, if you will become the best that God has designed for you to be, you must engage your imagination. God put an equipment inside you that is powerful in its impact if you will explore the world of this equipment, and it is called imagination. It has the capacity to turn impulses or thoughts into pictures in your mind. God gave you imagination for the capture or the creation of the future. Pay attention to what I said, that God gave you an imagination for the capture or creation of the future. Your imagination is so powerful because it's the place where you have the opportunity to explore the supernatural world, the unseen world. Your imagination takes you beyond the limits of human ability. Physically speaking, you are limited by space. You can be in only one place at a time. When you go into the realm of your imagination, you can break that limit. Now, this limitation means that to get from one place to another, it will take you time. Okay? To go physically from where I am now to New York, even if I decide now I want to get to New York, in fact, if I had a private jet waiting for me to take me there, it will still take me a number of hours to get to New York. But when I switch to my imagination, it's in an instant. I can be in New York. Or I can choose to be at the White House in Washington, D.C. I can choose to have breakfast with Barack Obama, right? And pay attention. I'm saying this in Lagos, Nigeria. Okay? So in my imagination, I can travel faster. I can go farther. The things that are impossible for me, physically speaking, become possible in my imagination. I am not limited by time. In my imagination, I can live in the past. I can rewind. I can even live before I was born. in the times before I was born. I can choose to live in the days of Christ. Okay? In my imagination. In my imagination, I can fast forward and live in the future. And that's the one I'm asking, that you need to explore. If you will be able to realize your potentials as a human being and as a child of God. God gave you imagination. You must use it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Many people focus on the asking part. They discountenance the thinking part. But the Bible puts them on equal platform. God hears what you think as loud as He hears what you ask. Because God does not have physical ears. Your thoughts make as much impact on your life as your words do. What we ask or think. In fact, I believe that the reason why many people do not see the answers to their prayers is because what they ask is in conflict with what they are thinking. And God needs the two of them to work together for Him to fulfill your destiny. In Genesis 11 and verse 6, we hear the story of human beings who got together and decided to build a city and a tower whose top will reach up to heaven. And hear what God said, Genesis 11 verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them." See, the place where you break barriers in your life is in your vision. It's in your dreams. It's in your imagination. Divinely inspired thoughts can revolutionize your life. I'm encouraging that today, you need to go beyond where you are. You need to explore. There's a kind of a person that you are meant to be that you haven't been yet. There are places you can go that you haven't gone. There are things you can have that you don't have yet. But the place where you need to experience them first is in your imagination. Because that is where you bring them into your life. That's where they become your own reality. Now, I'm trying to make a difference between the thoughts that you think for yourself and the thoughts that God decides to drop in your spirit. Because for us believers, success is not just an achievement, it is something you receive. It's not just something you achieve, it is something you receive. True, God gave you the capacity to think, but if you do not align your thoughts with God's plans and purposes for your life, you will find yourself working against God. In this instance, in Genesis 11, God came to destroy mankind's plans. We don't really succeed except we're in alignment with God's plans and purposes for our lives. But then, there are thoughts that originate from the human mind. There are thoughts that originate from God. When God drops His own thoughts into your spirit, something extraordinary happens. It's like a seed dropping into the soil. It takes on a life of its own and creates something new that never existed before. Or it's like a sperm being fertilized in a woman's womb. Then you have the creation, the beginning of the creation of a human being that never existed before. When a human being receives a divinely inspired dream or thought from God, that person literally becomes pregnant. Pregnant with the future. Pregnant with what is going to be. That's exactly what happened to Joseph. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, hear what God says about His thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When a human being thinks, it's powerful. But when it's God's thoughts that are now dropped in the human spirit, that is a revolution. Joseph had a dream in the night that defined his destiny from that moment onwards. You must have a dream, and you will have a God-given dream. In Jesus' name. Psalm 92, verse 5. I was meditating one day on that psalm, and I came across that verse. It says, O Lord, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. Then the Spirit of God said to me, that's it. Great works are products of deep thoughts. Great works are products of deep thoughts. Listen, thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are very powerful. Ultimately, you attract the material equivalent of your most dominant thoughts. Many people don't know that you cannot change your life permanently until you change your thoughts. But Romans 12 verse 2 says so. Do not be conformed to this world. One translation of the Bible says, don't allow the world to fit you into its own mold. In other words, don't let your circumstances dictate your thoughts. Because whatever thoughts become dominant in your mind will still recreate themselves in your reality. So don't let your circumstances, don't let the environment shape your thoughts. It's your thoughts that must shape the environment. You must take responsibility for what you think. Do not be conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed. And we hear that word transformed, Bible scholars say, is from the Greek word metamorpho. Has the same root in Latin as metamorphosis. Changing from one state to the other. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. If there was another way for God to change your life, you would have said so. When you alter your thoughts, you alter your life. That's why it's absolutely important for you to be a dreamer. You've got to learn to break beyond the barriers of your physical limitations in your imagination. Your imagination is the place where you may be a pauper, but you can have millions in your account. Your imagination is where it's possible. It's possible for you to design, to create, for you to take things that are not in your life now and to add them to your life. It's in your imagination. Woo! To think that God said, this thing that they have imagined to do, nothing will be restrained from them. Nothing will stop them from doing. He said, nothing will be impossible to them that they have imagined to do. The big challenge that we have is that you have loads of people who have no dreams. Listen, the way our world works, without a dream, you are sunk. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. It is negative dreams that are frustrating people's destinies. When I learned this secret, I began to exercise it. A young man who didn't have a job, I began to see myself, you know, the job one was a small deal. I went beyond that. I saw myself prosperous. I saw myself going all over the world, you know. I didn't have anywhere to go in the physical, but in my imagination. I thank God that when I came to this city, I already knew these principles. I used them to my advantage because when I came to this city several years ago, I saw two dimensions to the city. I saw wealth and I saw extreme poverty. And I made a choice. I made a choice. In those days when I would walk on my feet on the road, and I would see people drive by in beautiful cars, I never wasted any opportunity. I'll look at them, you know, and I'll say to myself, in this Lagos, we will drive these fine cars together. Hallelujah. I didn't waste the chance. I knew what other people would do. Out of frustration, they would just hiss. Ole. It's a thief. Wisdom told me that once I programmed it into my imagination that it is thieves that drive fine cars together, I will not drive one because I don't see myself as a thief. You get the equation? Genesis 15, God taught Abraham to dream. Make it easy for God to help you. There's no point expecting God to break his principles to bless you. You have to give him a picture to work with. When you hold a camera, you need to snap an image. Have it either on the film or on your memory card. That's what the printer will print out for you on the card. What you have on the film or the memory card is what is printed out for you. Am I right? When the power of God comes on your life, the picture that it meets in your imagination is what it prints out for you in your reality. Make it possible for God to work on your behalf. I would cut pictures from magazines and stick them on the wall in the bedroom. I would write goals on plain sheets of paper and stick them on the wall in the bedroom. Why? So I could see them every day. In Genesis chapter 15, God told Abraham that he was going to give him a child. Abraham felt it was taking too long. He was asking God, is it the son of my servant Eliezer that will now inherit all these blessings you spoke about? So in Genesis 15 verse 5, the Bible says that God brought Abraham out and told him, as many as the stars are in the sky, so will your descendants be. What was God doing? Abraham sat down inside the tent, brooding over his barrenness and his wife's barrenness. And God knew, as long as he held a picture of barrenness in his spirit, there was nothing God was going to be able to do. God had to change that picture first. So God said, come out. What you are looking for is too small. I'm telling someone today, in your imagination, come out from your current position. God has bigger things for you to do. When you stay inside the house and you want to catch the sky, how much will you catch? Only a small piece. Come out from under that limitation. And look, the sky is broader than you think it is. Some of us, our world is too small. Just too narrow for God to navigate in. Abraham came out and God must have told him, look, count the stars. Count the stars. Have you tried to count the stars before? All of us did as children. Were you able to count them? No. So Abraham must have lost count. Then God said, that's it. You are brooding over lack of one. I'm bigger than one. I'm going to give you a whole nation. I'm going to give you a multitude. Looking for 10,000 naira. Think 10 million. The difference is the zeros. Enlarge your mind. Dream big. Nothing will be impossible to them that they have imagined to do. The big deal is some of them are finding it impossible to dream big. God doesn't have a problem doing anything for anyone as long as it's within the context of God's purposes and plans for your life. God taught Abraham to dream. Many of us today, instead of vision, what we have is television. And you know what they do with TV? The people who create the programs have decided what they want to dump into your mind because they want to control your life to their own advantage. You sit down there taking into your mind what other people have designed. When will you create your own? You've got to be original. God created you to be head, not tail. And the imagination is in the head. The dreaming, the thinking, the decision is in the head. Tail has no choice. It goes wherever they drag it to. God didn't design for you to be dragged around anywhere by people who design the economic world, by people who are there in the film industry. No, you are part of the movers and shakers within the context of your own destiny. You may be buying the things they produce, but people need to come and buy from you also because you have something to offer your world. But it all starts from your imagination. What's your status? Where have you placed yourself? I got to the point where I would write checks from my checkbook. Because the ones I wrote on the wall were coming to pass. We wrote a car on the wall. The day it came to pass for Pastor Dominic and I, it was a miracle. Then I thought, oh, we got the car, a Mercedes car. Took that down, wrote another one. I had to find out if this thing really worked. Okay? Put another one. We got it. The next one, you know, we got from a magazine. Because we were attending a conference, I remember, somewhere in Ikeja, Pastor Nike and I, and the person preaching said, when you come tomorrow, you must bring a picture of your dream home. Get the picture from anywhere, but you need to bring, I want to prophesy over it. So we found the picture of a house in the brochure for a car. The car was parked in front of the house, but we liked the house. So we took that picture to the seminar. And then, you know, at the point, Pastor Nike said, but this is a car in front of the house. But it's house. They said we should bring. I said, then let's get the two together. As God complained, he cannot afford it. So we got the prayer on it and stuck it on the wall. I'm telling you, we got both. We got both. Because we could see that every day and dream. We could see that every day and dream. The next one after that, the next car after that, I was checking on the internet and printed the picture out and stuck it on the wall by the bedroom. Then after some time, I said, only cars. If it works for cars, it should work for cash. So, took a check and wrote my name on the check and wrote a fat amount of money and stuck it on the wall. And 1 year later, I said, let me even check my financial records. The money had come in over 1 year. It works. If you don't have a dream, you are finished. There is nothing for God to work with. Help me to ask the person sitting next to you, do you have a dream? The day star that you know today was once a dream. Someone came from the U.S. last week. The last time the person attended the service here was when we were at our former location. He said, this is phenomenal. This is serious. When he saw how large the place is, how many services we run, I said, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. That's how we Christians answer, isn't it? It's the grace of God. But the real truth is that if my imagination couldn't capture this, it would never have happened. One day, I was preaching at our former location, and I announced to the church, it's my body that is here. My spirit is gone. I said, inside me, I'm already running 4 services at our new location, which will be much bigger than this. That's the reality now, isn't it? And for your information, I'm already in another location. Help me to ask your neighbor, do you have a dream? Then ask the person, is your dream big? God gave, listen, this thing is a fight. Because your reality will tell you, look, this, you are just wasting your time. Look there. It may have worked for Pastor Sam, but listen, this thing, because many people believe in luck, even when they bring God in. Yet God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his principles. If it worked for somebody else before, it is proof it's going to work for you if you walk in line with that principle. Okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, this service marks the end of abortion of vision. Some had dreams before. But each time they have a dream, it is aborted. It doesn't come to pass. I came by the anointing, by the power of the Spirit of God, to declare that this service marks the end of abortion of vision. Receive capacity to dream. Somebody's mind is healed right now. Somebody's imagination is healed right now. Those past experiences that damaged the mind, that create doubts, create fear. Even when you want to dream, the fear comes. Do you think it will ever come to pass? Remember what happened before? By the power of the Spirit of God, every obstacle to your dreaming is destroyed now.
receive grace for dreaming. God gave Joseph a dream. Joseph told his brothers, the Bible says they hated him for his dreams. What was his response? Not bitterness. Not bad. And Joseph dreamed another dream. That's it. The bigger the obstacles of my life are, the bigger my dreams are going to be. I am not going to give in to the limitations around me. No, it's not about the federal government of Nigeria. It's not about location. It's not about nothing. It's not about global economic recession. It's about me and the Holy Spirit. My capacity to believe what God is saying. In fact, all those negative circumstances will become my opportunity to prosper and to thrive. So I prophesy, the God who helped me, who opened my inner eyes, that God will help you now. Your inner eyes are open. Your heart is enlarged. Receive enlargement of capacity. I was asking God several years ago, how can we raise money? 100 million naira to build a new. He said, 100 million. He said, don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. What you are shooting for is too low. So I said, 500 million. That's it. And we was talking about this auditorium we're in. In the name of Jesus, this service marks the end of shooting too low. Functioning below divinely installed capacity. This service marks the end of crawling where you're supposed to be flying. This service is a service for restoration. Everything that belongs to you by destiny is coming to pass. Someone has been wondering, hey, I had a dream. Why is everything going crazy around my life? That's what happened to Joseph. Everything was going crazy. Once you take delivery of revelation, Satan comes after you. Because it is that revelation that shapes the future. Satan knows if he can steal the dream, he stole your future. By the power of the Spirit of God, every destiny stolen, every idea, every opportunity, I prophesy they are restored now. Wherever there has been discouragement, receive courage. I said, receive courage. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person here. You see, because the place where it all starts is a personal relationship with God. How do you get a dream, a vision from God when you don't have a relationship with God? I want to pray with you. Honest person, you say, my lifestyle is not right with God. I'm a sinner. I can't be lying about that. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you put your hand on your heart where you are? I've run out of time, so it's going to be just 1 minute. We'll pray together. Just put your hand on your heart. You are not in this service by accident. God brought you here today. He won't allow the environment to destroy your destiny. He wants to do something special. Pastor Sam, my lifestyle is not right with God. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Perhaps you've been a sinner before, or you've been a Christian before, but you're backsliding into sin. If Jesus Christ comes today, you are not absolutely certain you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? You may be on the overflow. You may be watching on the internet. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can I ask you to stand by your chair? We'll be done in 1 minute. Can I ask you to stand by your chair? 1 minute. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. This is a revolution. And the decision you are making is not only for you, for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. God wants to raise a new lineage entirely. If you're standing, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone standing. I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will rest on them as you destroy sin and destroy the nature of sin from their hearts. Thank you for putting your own nature in them and teaching them to know you from today. In Jesus' name.